Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Every Sunday this month, I've asked Megan to schedule one of our worship team members to sing something that you will hear at the Christmas Eve service. So I'm going to kind of whet your appetite this morning, and our First Lady is going to come and give you a preview of the Christmas Eve service. So, Megan, come.
This song is called Be Born in Me, and I think about how you think about the angel that came to Mary, and don't you know the million things that were going through her mind when he gave her that information? And what did she say? She said, be it unto me. And I pray that that is the same way that I live my life, that when God shows me something I need to do, or if I'm in a situation, that I will say, yes, God, and that I will choose to trust him over my fear. And so I just want you to be blessed during this song. This is her point of view.
Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is this shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am only dreaming. Somehow help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart is on its knees. Holy is he, blessed am I, be born in me, be born in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me. I'll hold you in the beginning, you will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. All this time we've waited for the promise. All this time waited for my arms. Did you wrap yourself in something unexpected so we might know that love would go that far? Be born in me, be born. every moment in the middle. Make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. Be born in me.
Amen. Thank you, Megan. So join us Christmas Eve. Join us every Sunday of December, because you'll be blessed by different members of our team. And so I know it's going to be a great, great month as we celebrate Jesus. Today we're starting a brand new series. It's our Christmas series called A Christmas Miracle. Now, around this season, around Christmas season, we hear the word miracle tossed around a lot, right? I mean, you've probably seen television shows that talks about Christmas miracles. You've seen, you know, there's this one sort of famous TV show or movie called A Miracle on 34th Street, right? And I had to look up and see which street it's on, but it's a miracle that happens there. This past week, I watched a movie with my kids. It's called The Polar Express, and they're on this magical train, and miraculously, they wind up at the North Pole, and they see the reindeer, they see the guy in the red suit, they see all that. Hallmark has 142 movies about guy meets girl, guy doesn't like girl, and then guy and girl miraculously get married. How you can tell the same story using the same actors 142 times and people still tune in. It's amazing. My hat is off to them. It's awesome. But there are some real miracles tied in with Christmas. As a matter of fact, I might burst someone's bubble this morning, but it is impossible to embrace the message of Christmas without embracing the reality that Jesus, God, does miracles. Christmas is simply the greatest miracle. It's a celebration of the greatest miracle that God has ever done on planet Earth that we're celebrating. And if you miss the miracles of Christmas, so every service this season, we're going to be talking about a different miracle of Christmas. If you miss the miracle, you miss the message. I would also, let me just challenge you to put on some new glasses when you read the New Testament, when you read the works of Jesus. You're going to find in the miracles of Jesus all throughout the New Testament, you're going to discover that most of his miracles, there's a message behind the miracle. And the same is true of Christmas. Today's miracle is simply this: the miracle of outsiders becoming insiders. Let me ask you this morning, how many have ever felt like an outsider? Whether you were chosen last on the kickball field, maybe you moved into a new city, maybe today you feel like an outsider. Maybe this is your first time to ever be in this church. Maybe you've been in this church for 6 months and you say, "Pastor, I still kind of feel like an outsider." Then I would just simply say, forgive us, because this is a place where outsiders become insiders because of what Christ has done in us, right? Maybe you've been the third wheel on a date before and you felt like an outsider. The reality is that humanity was stuck in not just the theological position, but the actual position of being an outsider with God. Not for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but for hundreds of years, humanity was considered an outsider when it came to the relationship with God. We could go back and read in Genesis chapter 3, which is where the Christmas story really begins, right? In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they sinned. They had this ultimate inside relationship with God. The Bible said in the cool of the day, God would come down and he would walk with them and talk with them and enjoy company with them, undivided in any sense of the word. Total intimacy with God is what Adam and Eve enjoyed. But sin entered the picture, and what was lost in the entrance of sin was a physical separation between God and man. They were banished from the garden where they could have have interaction and fellowship with God, but they were also banished from having this unveiled relationship with God. And for hundreds of years, men lived as outsiders when it comes to a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite Christmas songs, I've referred to this a few weeks ago, is that song, O Holy Night. Right, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. And then the next verse says this, long lay the world in sin and error pining. What is that? I sang that song as a kid. I really never knew what they were talking about. But it was talking about this outside condition that humanity didn't enjoy, but they had to live their life wishing they could have right relationship with God, but knowing that was impossible, there had to be someone to come in to fix what sin had broken. And Christmas is the arrival of the promise of Genesis chapter 3 that Jesus came to be for us what we can never be for ourselves. He came to bridge the bridge between God and man that had been broken for centuries. The outsiders became insiders again because of Jesus. So if you feel like an outsider today, welcome, you're in the right place. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is nothing more than a collection of outsiders who's been made insiders because of Jesus. Praise God. We've got something to celebrate this Christmas. It's a miracle. Those who've been far from God are not someday going to be, but right now are near to God. So Luke chapter 2 talks about how this miracle takes place. Forgive me for being so beside myself. I haven't even read the Bible yet. Let's get to it. Luke chapter 2 says there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I tell you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born unto you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven on earth. Peace to those who his favor rest." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen were just what they had been told. God, we love you. We thank you that you're a God of miracles. You're a God who does the impossible. And we testify to that because you've already done the impossible in us. You moved us from lost to found. You moved us from sinner to saint. You moved us from outsiders to insiders because of your grace. And I pray this morning you'll move us again. There's someone in this room this morning that's not, Lord, they're not an insider with God because they've been on the outs with you. Sin has separated them. I pray that today will be the day they surrender their heart and their life to you. Move people from being outsiders to insiders this morning. God, if there's someone who has seemed like they're on the outside of your will, Lord, maybe they've chosen to follow you, but they've just, Lord, they've been stuck. God, move them from the outside to insiders today. And God, help me today. Help me to speak this word you want spoken. Help us to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us, and we'll respond accordingly. And everybody in the room said, amen. If there was ever a group of people known to be outsiders, it would have been the shepherds. As a matter of fact, just their physical location lets us know that they're outsiders, right? They're near Bethlehem, but they're not in Bethlehem. They're outside. They're nearby, but they're not outside. That's kind of what it feels. That's kind of what it's like to be an outsider, right? You're near the people who are inside, but you're stuck on the outside. So there's the shepherds. They're on the outside of town. And according to the law of the land, not only were shepherds just physically outside of Bethlehem, physically outside of what God was doing, but ceremonially, that is true the same. Shepherds were considered to be unclean simply because of their occupation, because of their interaction with livestock. They would never be able to enter into a worship service to sacrifice unto the Lord until they had gone through a cleansing period. They would not be part of the family of God celebrating the things that God were doing because they were outsiders. Their job made them outsiders. As a matter of fact, to add insult to injury, most scholars of the day believe that shepherds by this time had kind of gotten a poor image. In other words, they weren't the elitist of society. Some documents suggest that shepherds were not even allowed to give testimony in a court of law in those days because they were known to not be truth bearers. You can hit rewind in the Word of God and go back to get a full picture of what people thought about shepherds. Think about the most famous king of Israel, King David. And when Samuel shows up at Jesse's house to anoint the next king, everyone is invited to have the possibility to be anointed the king of Israel. All the brothers were, except for who? David. And where's David? He's out in the field keeping sheep. He's not even worth being invited to the dinner. He is not even worth considering that God might want to use him. I'm just saying, shepherds had sort of a track record of being known as those who were on the outsiders. And yet of all the people in the world, Jesus chose to appear, or chose to allow his birth to be pronounced to those who were on the outsiders. And I believe there is a very tangible, real message to us this morning through that fact, is that God wanted to pronounce to the outsiders, to the whole world, that he didn't just come for insiders. See, I believe if the angel would appear to the Pharisees or the Sadducees, if the angel of the Lord would appear into the temple of that day, those who were in charge of the temple, those who were in charge of God's house may have said, hey, this God has appeared to us because the Messiah is for us. But when the angel appeared to the shepherds, to those on the outside, He heard these words, he spoke these words, that I've come to be a Savior to all people. Not just some people, but all people. Sort of an interesting sidebar, that these shepherds, they were nearby. Many scholars believe that, or at least admit it's probable, that these shepherds were not keeping ordinary sheep, that they were actually keeping the sheep that would eventually be taken into the town, that would be given for sacrifice for the people of God. And isn't it amazing that if that is true, then the angels appeared to these outside shepherds who were keeping watch of a flock that would be used as sacrificial lambs, and he directed those shepherds to go into town so that they could be visually seeing the person, as John would say, that will take away the sins of the world. They went from keeping the sheep to seeing the lamb. He made outsiders insiders. And I want to tell you today that God is still taking outsiders and making them insiders. He's still causing those outside of salvation to be brought into salvation. He's not just making outsiders into insiders, and when it comes to salvation, but church, hear me this morning, he is also calling you and I to be people who would cause those who are outside the church of Jesus Christ to become insiders in the church of Jesus Christ. So how does God, what's the miracle that God wants to deliver to us? The fact that outsiders become insiders. How do I participate in that? How do I receive that? How do I function in that? What does that mean for me now that I'm a Christ follower? I want to answer those questions to you this morning. First this morning, the first miracle is simply the message miracle. The miracle of the message that outsiders have become insiders. That's point one. Verse number 9 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Out of all the people in the world the angel of the Lord could appear to, he appeared to outsiders. Why? Because I believe God wants us to hear this fact, that God is not, he is not satisfied. Please hear me this morning. God is not satisfied for one person on planet Earth to be outside of a relationship with him. And if God is not satisfied, then neither should we be. right? He chose to come to some outsiders to make them insiders, and he's calling you and I to participate in that same effort. Out of all the people in the world, the angels appear to them, and they says, basically, I'm going to paraphrase, God loves you too. God cares about you too. Don't be afraid. God's not mad at you. God's not put off by you. He's not going to let your past keep you from him using you in the future. He appeared to these outsiders to let them know God loves you. There's a song on the radio that you never get to choose what song your kids sings. I wish my kids would go around singing Jesus Loves Me all the time. That would make me feel much more spiritual as your pastor. But if you eavesdrop on our house, there's a song that my kids are singing. I mean, all the time. We get in the car to go somewhere, even if it's just across town to the Walmart, they want this song. And now it's to the point no music is required. They'll sing it themselves. And here's the song they sing. I ain't getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. Have you heard that song? If you've not heard the song, go Google it when you get home today. It's worth the listen. It's been around for 100 years. But, you know, and they'll start singing the song. You know, I put a tack on teacher's chair. Somebody snitched on me. I climbed a tree and tore my pants. Somebody snitched on me. And then it goes back in, and they'll start talking, oh, that is so bad. They'll laugh at each other about how bad these kids are being in the song. And they just keep on singing over and over again. And I don't like the song. I mean, I like 90% of it, but I don't like the part where it says, Mommy and Daddy are mad. So I just keep, every time they sing the song, I just can't help myself. I said, now, girls, you know, Mommy and Daddy are not mad at you. Even though you may have done, you know, we're not mad at you. And I think I keep interjecting that because for a long, long time, especially when I was younger, no one taught me this, but I was pretty convinced that God was mad at me. Because I kept messing up. And every time I messed up, I would kind of feel the guilt and the shame. And I felt like I'd become an outsider once again. But I want to tell you this morning, God is not mad at you. Christmas is a message that even when you're outside the plan of God, he loves you and wants to draw you back into the inside. The angel showed up with this message and said, God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not put off by you, but he's welcoming you. He's welcoming you to move from being an outsider with God to being an insider with God. As a matter of fact, if you look over the ministry of Jesus, you're going to find him. One of the things that Jesus got in trouble for over and over again was he kept on going to people who were outside, and he'd eat with them. He'd love on them. He'd work a miracle for them. Over and over again, people were asking, why does your teacher hang out with these people? Why does he go there? I mean, look at his disciples. Matthew was a tax collector, which had the same reputation as a prostitute. He went and ate with this little short guy named Zacchaeus, who also was a tax collector. There was a widow who was so marginalized by society that she wouldn't even worship she'd worship in a way that drew no attention to her, that no one saw her, but yet Jesus said when she gave in the collection plate, she gave more than anybody. He noticed those that no one noticed. He loved those no one else loved. He went out of his way. He went out to minister to lame people, to blind people, to injured people, to mentally challenged people. He went out of his way to help those who had all kinds of struggles, all those who were far from God. He went and ministered to them so they could be brought near to God. In Colossians chapter 1, reminds us. I hope it reminds us this morning. I hope we don't forget this. That once you were alienated from God, once you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Ephesians chapter 2 says, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ. I just want to bring that up this morning. I know that some of us were dressed up nice. You may come to church like me for your entire life. That's not everybody's story, but some of you, that's your story. And I just want to make sure that we haven't forgotten, no matter how dressed up we are on a Sunday morning, that we, our righteousness was still like filthy rags. We still needed a Savior who would save us from ourselves, save us from our religion, save us from our own way of doing things. The miracle message is this: you've been invited to be an insider. Point two this morning is we got to realize a miracle is needed. Have you realized yet that you need a miracle? See, the angel said to the shepherds, today in the town of Bethlehem, what's that next word? A Savior. A what? Do you know what you need this morning? A Savior. You know, all over our city, and the cities around us, if you'll kind of look, you've probably already noticed this. All across our city, there inside businesses, you'll see these signs that say this, these two words: help wanted. You seen those? They're everywhere. Help wanted, everywhere. Do you know why people are putting up those signs? It's because they've understood, business owners have understood, that the ability on the inside isn't matching the demand on the outside. Humanity, for generations, had a help wanted sign because the ability on the inside of humanity wasn't able to stand up to the demand on the outside of humanity. What am I saying is they needed a Savior. They needed a miracle. They needed someone to come in and do what could not be done. They needed someone to come in and be their cleanser for their sins. I hope you recognize this morning that nothing less than a miracle is what saves us. Our good works doesn't save us. Our good actions don't save us. God does save us and empower us and challenge us to do good works and do good actions and make a difference. But friends, those things don't save us. What saves us is Jesus. He came because humanity needed a Savior. I'm afraid that too many people think of Jesus as a spiritual chiropractor. We just go to Jesus to get our adjustment we need, to get our stiff points worked out, to get ourselves back in alignment. But can I tell you, Jesus did not come to be your advisor. He did not come to be your adjuster. He did not come to be the person that makes your life a little bit better. Jesus came to totally, 100% transform your life, to take those who are far from God and bring them near to God. Don't settle. Listen, too many people are coming to church. They're watching online, and they are looking for a spiritual adjustment, and they're not finding it. Why? Because God is not in the adjustment business. He's in the transformation business. The last thing we need is another well-adjusted person. We need some transformed people. We need some people who would say, I once was far from God, but now I'm near to God. And it's not because of something I did or somewhere I went, but because I had an encounter with Jesus and it changed my life. God forgive us when we ask Him to adjust us instead of transform us. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today, they're praying adjusting prayers instead of transformation prayers because, friends, transformation requires another word. It's called surrender. You got to just say, God, mold me, make me do what you want to. And if it bends me out of the shape I think I ought to be in, then I'm just going to receive it. I'll notice that none of these shepherds, when they said, unto you a Savior is born, none of them said, we're good. No, they ran off. They hurried off. Why? Because they knew they needed a Savior. And friends, so do you. And so do I today. We are people in need of a Savior. Number three, miracles always require us responding to God's Word. Outsiders become insiders by responding to His Word. Have you ever been to the Cheesecake Factory? Wow, I finally got us all on board. We're all excited about the same thing. I'm not sure what's bigger, my Bible or their menu. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Cheesecake Factory for two reasons. Number one, the cheesecake. And number two, just to experience the largest menu on planet Earth. It's like, you know what's on the menu? I don't know. I might tell you like three or four things. Some people feel like following Jesus is about memorizing the menu, when it's actually about responding to the message. Doesn't matter if you have the whole menu memorized. If you don't place your order, you're not going to experience what you are meant to experience. Can I tell you, the Word of God, yeah, it needs to be memorized, because it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the steps we're going and the places we're going. It is what the Holy Spirit uses to recall to our memory in times when we don't know what to say. Knowing the Word of God is vastly important, my friends. There's also no substitute to responding to the Word of God. And the shepherds, when they heard the Word of God, they didn't just listen to it, they responded to it. I'm giving you a lot of homework today. Here's another homework assignment for you. Go home this afternoon and read about all the miracles in God's Word, and come back and tell me how many of those miracles required people to participate in order for the miracle to happen. Sometimes we say things like this. Even the little title, the little subparagraph notation in my Bible says things like this: Jesus feeds the 5,000. Did Jesus really feed 5,000? If you think this is a trick question, you're right. Who did Jesus feed? Nobody. Pastor! Right? I'm blowing your Sunday school teacher out of the water. I understand that. Who did Jesus feed? He gave the food to the disciples, and he said, now you go feed them. And the disciples leave with their little basket of a little bit of fish and a little bit of loaves, and they're looking at 5,000 people plus women and children, 5,000 men plus women and children is what most scholars think. And they leave Jesus. Jesus says, you go give me? Yeah. And I just, if it was Greg Sanders doing, I don't know how Peter, James, and John did it, but if it was me doing, I'd be like, here's your little bit of communion. Here's your little bit, just a little wafer, a little bit of, fish crumb, because this has got to feed 5,000 people. So, but the Bible says they had all that, they ate all they wanted. A little bit of communion bread and juice isn't all I want. They ate all they wanted. Where did the miracle happen? Did it happen when Jesus blessed her, or did it happen as the disciples passed it out? I understand Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus even takes credit for it in the next chapter when he says, you're following me because you saw me work the miracle. But he used the disciples to do it. Who turned the water into wine? You could say Jesus, but wasn't it the servants that he told to go get the water and put them in some dirty old water pots that were used for washing of your hands? Jesus, he raised Lazarus from the dead, but he told someone else to go move the stone away, and they said, no, Lord, we can't do that, it'll stink. Before the widow had an abundance of oil, she first had to go collect all these empty vessels from her neighbors. I'm just saying that if you want to see the miraculous in our world today, it's not about being a spectator. Too many people, I'm getting way off where I'm supposed to be going, but I've just heard too many people that want to go and they want to see. Oh, I want to go where this is happening, and I want to go see where that is happening. And God didn't call us to go and see, He called us to go and do. And then we're in our doing, in response to His word, the miracles happen. There's a difference between receiving an opportunity and responding to an opportunity. And these three shepherds, they didn't just hear the word of God, they responded to the word of God. They didn't understand everything. How many understand that understanding is not required for obeying? This season, I believe it's imperative for us to open our ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and whatever He says, obey. Because it's in obedience that the miracles happen. Megan, if you want to come, it might speed me up. Number four, we got to become miracle messengers. When they heard, when they'd seen Him, speaking of Jesus, they spread the word. Did you know that when you go from being an outsider to an insider, that you also move from being a person who is in need of a miracle to where now you become the miracle messenger? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, hey, you're supposed to be a miracle messenger. We are all miracle messengers. If I were to ask you, what is the greatest miracle that's ever happened on planet Earth? The correct answer is that when we go from dead to life, from lost to found, the miracle of salvation is the greatest miracle of all. And so if you are saved today, if you're a Christ follower today, then you are not supposed to just be a miracle receiver, you're supposed to be a miracle messenger. And these shepherds, these outsiders, they didn't just go from being outsiders to insiders. They went from being outsiders to insiders that were used by God. And some of us would say things like, well, Pastor, God really can't use me that way because I don't know enough yet. These shepherds didn't know much at all. And what they did know, they couldn't explain. But they didn't let what they didn't know keep them from sharing what they did know. And what the world needs to hear in 2021 is not what you don't know, it is what you do know. That I once was lost, but now I'm found, right? That's what the world needs to hear in your words. And fifth, believe you'll see more miracles as you follow Jesus. Outsiders discover the joy of being an insider the longer they walk with Him. The shepherds return. This is probably my favorite scripture of this passage. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And here's my favorite part. Which were just as they had been told. See, what that scripture means is that it's just evidence that God keeps His word. They trusted Him, they left their sheep, they went and found the baby in a manger, and they came back and they celebrated and they told people, hey, God gave us this promise and we pursued it, we went after it, and it was exactly how God told us it would be. See, that's how God operates. He's a promise-keeping God. What if the shepherds would have went to Bethlehem and said, well, you know, we checked this house and that house. We looked around a little bit, but we didn't really find a babe in a manger. And I mean, it was already 10 o'clock. So, you know, we went home. And so I guess it wasn't an angel. I guess it was bad pizza I ate that night. I guess it just wasn't real. It was a hoax. And some people are convinced because God hasn't done it yet that He's not going to do it. I've heard people say things like this, and I want to be really careful. I don't want to be a smart aleck this morning. But I've heard people say things like, well, I trusted God, and God failed me. I've been there before. I've had that thought before. But here's the thing. I would say to you simply this. It's not that God has failed you. You simply haven't trusted God long enough yet. The story isn't over yet. I love, you know, I almost walked up on the platform earlier this morning and just kind of drew attention to something. I love what Brandy prayed this morning. I love it when I hear people of faith declare faith. I don't know if you heard. There's a lot of trash out there. You can tell I'm really getting off script now. There's a lot of trash out there in the world that says, this is what faith looks like. And a lot of it you can take a slice of and make a really nice sandwich out of because it's bologna, okay? But I like what Brandy prayed this morning. She said, hey, I'm believing God for something, and I'm believing and trusting Him to heal me on this side of heaven, but if He doesn't, I'm still believing He's going to heal me because He's my healer, right? One way or the other, God's going to heal me. That's what faith looks like. That's what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they were facing the fiery furnace, they said, but we believe that God is able, so we're not going to bow. We're going to believe Him. But even if He doesn't save us, we're still going to trust Him. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't give up because you haven't seen an answer. Faith says that even though I haven't seen an answer, I believe that God is faithful. He's still leading me. He's still guiding me. And He's still working on my behalf. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, eyes not seen, ear has not heard, nor enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. These shepherds, they became messengers with a supernatural message. No one could convince them that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. No one could convince them that they weren't part of God's story. They trusted Him and they witnessed the miracle. And God is wanting to do that for some of you this morning. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. There's three points of prayer. So I want you, I'm going to say them quickly if you can listen quickly. Prayer point number one, this is a miracle season for salvation. If you're in this room this morning and you would describe yourself as far from God, here's today's message for you. God came that He could take those who were far from God and make them near to God. Jesus came that those who were outside of His grace could be right smack in the middle of His grace and His plan for your life. And today say, Pastor, I'm an outsider. I'm not a Christ follower. But today, I want to move from spiritual death to spiritual life. Today I'm going to trust God to move me from an outsider to an insider. Just lift a hand real quick. Pray for me, Pastor. Today I need that to happen. I need that transformation. Not that adjustment. I need that transformation in my life this morning. Amen. All across this room, that's you. Slip up a hand real quick so I can include you in this prayer. Amen. Secondly, this morning, church, this is a miracle season for participation. What do you mean by that? I mean this. God can use you. God desires to use you to be His messenger. You can be the mouthpiece that God uses to bring other outsiders to become insiders this season. Every person who has witnessed a miracle, and if you're saved today, if you're right with God, that is not of your own doing so that anyone can boast. That is a miracle from God that you're right with Him. And if you're right with God, you've experienced that miracle, then God wants to use you, just like He used those shepherds, to be a miracle messenger this season. To tell people, hey, this is what God's done in my life. And today, I would just challenge you. Respond to the word this morning. The way you respond is as you begin to pray, God, show me opportunities to be a miracle messenger for you this week. Friends, if you'll start praying, if you'll start asking God to show you people who are outside with Him, He'll begin to give you opportunities to speak hope to them. He'll give you opportunity to invite them to the house of God, invite them to a place where they can hear the message, or He'll lead you and guide you to be the message. In that moment, some of you today need to pray. That has not even been on your radar, that God's called you to be a miracle messenger, but He has. He's called all of us. There's no one excluded from this call. And third, this morning, I believe this is a miracle season for demonstration as well. that God can work a miracle in you, but God can also work a miracle through you. You never know when you simply step out and obey God what miracle is about to happen. Sometimes you get to see the miracle in the moment you pray for someone. I've been there, done that. It's amazing. Sometimes you pray for someone and you don't think anything happens, and they call you 3 days later and say, listen, you know, I haven't been sick since you prayed for me. I haven't been the same since you prayed for me. Sometimes you never get feedback. The feedback you get is this: the Holy Spirit spoke and you obeyed. And friends, that has to be enough right there. We don't pray and obey God for our desired results. We pray and obey God, pray and obey God because of His desired results. And sometimes we are privy to those and sometimes we're not. But God can use you. So if any three of those, which I know number two is for all of us, we all are called to be miracle messengers. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to ask you to stand with me all across this room. Let's stand together before I pray. Father, I'm thankful that Christmas is by nature a miracle season because it celebrates when you came due to the greatest miracle of all. You came to take those of all of us who are far from God and bring us near to God. And Lord, we say thanks for working that miracle in our heart today. And I pray that each of us with minds that are open to that reality today, we would leave this place being miracle messengers, telling others about what you've done in us. God, I pray right now an anointing and an awareness. I even pray for just an unquenchable desire to flood our hearts to share the message of Jesus with someone else. Let us be messengers of the miracle this season. Let us do it this week. Open our eyes to those that we work with. Open our eyes to those we go to school with. Open our eyes to our family members, our neighbors that are far from God. And use us to bring outsiders and make them insiders because of what you do through us. Use us that way. And God, I also pray for a demonstration of your power. I pray as people are stepping out, as they're inviting, as they're praying for people, as they're serving their neighbors, they're doing whatever it is the Holy Spirit speaks to them to do. I pray for miracles that interrupt their activity. God, I pray that we would see miracles happen this Christmas season. I pray for the lost to be found. I pray for the sick to be healed. God, I pray for those that have given up hopes to be filled with hope again. God, I pray for those that have been feeling like an outsider, that they would be planted in the house of God and be an insider like never before. God, I pray for those that this season is simply a reminder of loss. God, I pray that you'll do a miracle in them, that they would see the hope and the gain they have in you. Lord, use us today. Let us be participators and the miracles of Christmas this season. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. If you receive the word of God today, would you give him a hand clap for his word? We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.